y bienvenidos a Centro. Queremos agradecerle por escoger escuchar este mensaje hoy. Oramos que este mensaje bendiga tu vida y que el Espíritu Santo te dé revelación a través de la Palabra de Dios. Si deseas saber más acerca de nuestro ministerio, visite nuestro sitio web en lccdefenders.org.
Special guest with us today. He is a son of the house. We go back 30 plus years. When I was 15 years old and just a baby in Jesus, that's when I gave my life to the Lord. When I was 15, we were friends and we knew each other back in the days. We're part of the original crew that some might have heard of as Willie's Kids. And so he is a byproduct of our spiritual father and founder of this ministry, William Vasquez. He and his wife, Larry and Yesenia Perez, they pastor U-Turn Covenant Church. And it's an honor for me to have Pastor Larry with us here today to share the word of the Lord with you. Let's give it up to God for this man of God today. Amen.
God bless everybody. It's good to be here. How's it going? It's good to see quite a few of you, and I know God is going to do something here today. It is an honor. I'm here with my wife, Yesenia, Yesenia Perez, and we're excited. And, I don't know. I know they used to show these videos with Pastor Willie, and they, one of them, and part of the videos that they show is a baptism video. And in that baptism video, it goes back to this time where there was only about like 8 people that were supposed to be baptized, and it was cold. It was like, I don't know if it was April or May. I think it was April that we went out to Lake Michigan to baptize. And I was just one of the new guys there just looking. And Willie was just baptizing people. And all of a sudden, he ended up baptizing. It was like close to 30 people. They were baptized that day, and I was one of them. My wife was one of those that got baptized, and God just started to do something awesome. I want you to look around you because there's so much rich history in this building. There's rich history in this church. And I really believe that God wants to awaken something that in each and every one of you, and although you may be new here, God has brought you here to work something in you. There's some rich history of great things that God wants to do and continue to do. And I pray that even throughout this message that God will not only open your eyes, but allow you to see his stirring and where he's leading you to do here as a congregation, as a ministry, here in this city, here in this community. And so I'm excited about it. So why don't we stand and we'll go right into the message. And you can open up your Bibles to the book of John chapter 9. John chapter 9, I'll be reading from the NIV. I believe we have the verse on the top. You would see that. And again, it's an honor to be here. I don't want to take up too much of that time. And I want to be able to be obedient and share what God has put in my heart. Amen. And the word of the Lord says like this. We'll read and then we'll pray. It says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents? That he was born blind. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud. He made some mud with saliva and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Today I want to share on this topic called the purpose of our mess. I want you to look at the person next to you and tell them there's purpose in the mess. There's purpose in the mess. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity you give me to share your word. I pray that your message, God, will open our eyes and allow us to see your greater story and what you want to do here at this amazing church, God. And I pray, Lord, that you will stir within each and every one in us, God, not only the heart to continue to follow you, but to understand that there's a mission in each and every one of us. And I pray that you would awaken that, Lord, and that we will understand this and we can roll with you and follow you in everything that you're doing. God, this world is in need of people that will rise up and understand, God, that they've called. We are in need of revival in our city. We are in need of revival in our communities. And so we pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The people of God said, come on, you may be seated. Amen. I always like to start with a story. There was this this lady that ended up being home for the weekend by herself. And as she was home, she heard a breaking of glass. Little did she know, there was a thief that had come into her house, broke in, and he started to go up the stairs. And as he was going up the stairs, she didn't know what to do. She began to panic. She said the first thing that she could do, which was to speak out a verse from the Bible. And she said, Acts 2:38. The thief who was coming up the stairs halted. He got on his knees and he put his hands up. The woman called the police. And the police came and arrested him. As he was in the vehicle, the police officer began to laugh and began to tell him, wow, what did she do that caused you to just stay there for an hour? He goes, just because of a verse that she spoke out, you stopped what you were doing? And the man, the thief, looked at the police officer. He said, verse? No. She says she had two axes. And I mean, she had an axe and 2:38s. I love stories. Our pastor, Pastor Willie, would always share stories. And story is so amazing. And I think this is something that's so powerful. If we were to study the times and things that are going on, if you looked at the Super Bowl and you watched it, especially during the commercials, you will always see in some of the commercials there was always a backstory to the story. Our culture is a culture that is spoken to based on a story, which is a great thing for the church because God is bringing us back to our mother tongue. The Bible, although we read the Bible, in the beginning, it was meant to be heard. People would orate, they would speak the gospel, and as they would speak the gospel, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And so young children, young men, they would read Torah, they would read the first book, the first five books of the Bible, and they will understand it, they will know it, every single part of the story. Story is important. The thing is that we live in a world today that, if we look at it in the Western thinking that we will call it, it's really left brain. Let me break this down and share it with you so you can understand where I'm heading. Left brain, the way the left brain functions, is that it breaks the truth in bits and pieces. The right side of the brain looks at things from the whole. So when you see the whole picture, you're using your right brain. But when you see things in little compartments and you break it down, you're only having a part of the truth. The world of today, if you look at it, and it goes even in the church where people begin to preach, we're always like 3 points to this, 5 points to that. That's very left brain. When somebody has a stroke and all of a sudden it affects the right side of their brain, what happens is they can't remember many things because the left brain only remembers certain compartments. That's why they'll say some truths, but they can't remember other things.
You and I as a church need to understand that God has called you and I to function on both sides. To be able to know the whole story of the gospel and not just part of the story. The thing is, we have too many people that just believe that Jesus died, right, was buried, and rose from the dead and is coming back. And we think that's it. But there's more to the story than that. That's not just the gospel. The gospel story is that Jesus died, buried, rose, is coming back. And you and I, who believe in him, now function under the rulership of his kingdom, that we follow him, and Jesus now is our Lord. So in other words, when you and I make a decision to follow, to come to Jesus, it's not about just believing and sitting on a seat. It's about believing and joining the mission of God and saying, I want to be a student of Jesus to follow him so he can transform me so that I can go ahead and make other disciples that make other disciples that make other disciples. God is calling you and I onto a mission, not a religion. God is calling you and I to awaken this. Now, the thing is this, we get into a point in the gospel where people think that preaching the gospel is telling people, oh, you're going to go to hell, you need Jesus. That will not work in this world. The thing is this, God has called you and I not to preach at people, but God has called you and I to, because let me tell you this, you and I cannot bring Jesus to anybody. For you and I to say that we can bring Jesus to people, that we will be considered arrogant. You and I can't bring Jesus to nobody. But let me tell you, Jesus invites us to be his witness so that we can go to the people and talk to them and awaken them to the God that's already working in them. And when you look at that person that is not going to church and not serving God, and you can help point the dots and connect the dots in their life. Hey, but I see God doing this in your life. And I see him doing this over here. And you're connecting the dots. Now they don't see things in compartments. They see things as a whole, as a story of God working in their lives. God is calling you and I to be that type of people that will understand that God is giving you and I a story. You and I, God is giving you a story. God is giving you a word. There's a story in this church. There's a story in your life that's based out of the great story of God of sending his son Jesus here on the earth, not only to die for us, but to rise for us, and he's coming back for us, and he's calling you and I to follow him so that others will know who Jesus is. Somebody got to give him praise. So, all of that is to prepare for this. What am I saying? The thing is that I love baseball. And out of all the positions in baseball, we have the pitcher, we have the catcher, but one of the positions that I love the most is the closer. The closer in baseball, matter of fact, one of the best closers was a Latino, Mariano Rivera. Mariano Rivera played for the New York Yankees. And I remember getting to meet him one time and just hearing his story and how he's a believer. And his wife is a pastor. That is something awesome. When Mariano Rivera would be called when bases were loaded, he would stop the other team from scoring and they would win. Closers will come in the most craziest, messed up times of the game. When there was a mess and the game is about to be done so they don't lose the game, they bring in the closer. And the closer would come in the last innings of the game. Well, I believe that we are in the last innings of this world. And God is looking for men and women who are willing to be closers, who are not scared of all types of statistics. The only statistic that's important to a closer are the saves. And that should be the statistic that you and I are about. How many people are coming to hear and know and follow Jesus? Well, the thing is this, and many people are scared. We're scared to share the gospel. We're scared to share Jesus with people. According to Barna and their studies, they say this, that nearly half of millennial practicing Christians say it is wrong to evangelize. What is evangelize? To share the gospel with other people. To share Jesus with other people, what God has done in their life. 47% of our young adults, the millennials, believe that it's wrong to do this. At the same time, 2 out of 3 millennials believe being a witness about Jesus is part of their faith. 65% of this. This is crazy. Almost 2 in 5 practicing Christians say they have no Christian friends or family members. That's 38%. And the number keeps rising and rising and rising. By the year 2070, what would the number be? There needs to be an awakening in the church. There needs to be an awakening amongst the people, a people that will understand and not be moved out of excuses. But understand this. Let me tell you something. Yes, there is the fivefold ministries, but God has called each and every one of us. There's a command in Matthew 28:19. He says, go through all the world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. You and I, there's a command in each and every one of us to share Jesus with other people. This is important. But we don't see this. We put our focus in so many other things, guys. We put our focus in all these other things. But Jesus didn't say, go and make great worship teams. He didn't say, go and make great preachings. No, he didn't say that. He says, go and make disciples. Go and share Christ with other people. What you have learned. What are we doing about this? What's going on in our hearts? What's going on in our lives? Now, I get it. Some of us are like, how can I even do that when I got mess in my life? How can I even do that when I feel like I don't have all the answers and I don't got nothing to do? Because there's 3 different types of reluctant people. One of the things that they'll say is this, I just don't have what it takes. Some of us feel that. Some of us buy into the lies of the enemy. We feel we have nothing to share, that we're not good enough. Second excuse that we do is, I don't want to impose my beliefs on my friends and family. You ever heard that? I don't want to impose on them. I don't want to do that. Number 3 is, I feel uncomfortable sharing this. But D.T. Niles says this, Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where he found the bread. I don't know about you, but I found some bread, and I want others to know the bread that I have, the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. Now remember this, there's a scripture in the book of Romans, and we don't have it here, but look what it says in Romans 10:13-14. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? There are people. Who spoke the word to you? I remember the people that spoke to me. I remember that they were not ashamed of sharing Jesus. Dude, I remember walking into this church back in Maplewood. I was 17, 18 years old, and I walked in. I saw a bunch of young people jumping and singing and doing all these different mimes. I'm like, what's going on here? It was like a revolution going on, and they were rejoicing with this great smile on their face, and I had this big frown in me because in me I thought I was without any value. I came from a broken home. My father abandoned our family. I didn't think I had anything to give, but the moment I stepped here and God called me to the altar, my pastor put his hands on me with his big old hug. And he was speaking to my life, and I began to eat from his table. I began to walk with him and talk with him, and I began to see life not in little fragments, but I saw a bigger part of the story. Yes, my life was messy, but God was going to use my mess for a message. Church, in the book of John, chapter 9, we're taken to a story. The story lets us know right away that this is a blind man. This isn't just any man. This is a blind man. He's blind and he's a beggar. But what I love about the story is that as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. This is why I love that although Jesus is on a journey, he's not so focused on the journey, but he catches everything that comes in that's around his vicinity. You're here today. Can I tell you something? He'll notice you. Some of you thought you weren't valuable, but as he's along, he sees your blindness. He sees your hurt. He sees your need. He sees the emptiness. He sees that there's a calling in your life. He sees the purpose in you. He sees that this is the Savior that we, oh, somebody got to give him praise up in here. Come on, somebody got to be excited about that. I thank God that he saw me. I thank God that he saw me. Now, I love this part because initially it tells us something here. He saw him, right? Now, we're told that he's a blind man from the birth. Now they continue to talk. Jesus is saying to them this in verse 3, neither this man. Now, he says, neither this man nor his parents sinned. They're asking, the disciples, these are followers of Jesus. They're more intrigued whether who sinned. Yes, we have those types of people up in the church that they have not captured the full story. They want to know about who sinned when they should have said, can you pray for him? They should have said, can we bring him to you so you can heal him? This mess is still going on. This was back then, but it's still going on in this world. We got so many things that are happening today that we want to write all these things on Facebook and on Twitter, and we want to talk about what this guy's doing, what that guy did, and how we don't agree with them. When we should be out there sharing what Christ is doing in our lives and loving on people and caring for people and posting that type of stuff of people, that lives being turned around. These are the type of things that we need to host and put together. I remember this church when we were back in Maplewood. Man, they had a newspaper article of these young people from Liberty Christian Center in Maplewood with a pastor from the hood with young people that were crazy about Jesus. This is your story. This is where you've come from. This is where we came from, babe. This is where we came from. This was the church. This is it. Churches today, call them ABC because it's all about the attraction. It's all about the building. And it's all about the consumerism. And we should be missional, relational, and incarnational, meaning you and I manifesting Jesus, not imitating, manifesting. Being Jesus' nose, being Jesus' eyes, being Jesus' hands, being Jesus' feet, and having the Jesus appetite. So this man is here, and Jesus is talking to these men, to his disciples. And they're having this conversation, and then Jesus spits on the ground, and he makes mud. I mean, let's pause there for a second. Have you ever tried to spit on the ground and make mud? It's not enough with one spit. You'd have to spit a lot. Now, I get it. Jesus is the living water. That didn't happen when he spit. He had to spit a couple times and do this, right? But can I tell you something? The man is blind. He's not deaf. He can hear what's happening around him. Imagine being this blind man, hearing this conversation. You can't run because you don't know where you're going. But here you are just sitting here and people are talking about your life. Oh, you've been there. Well, you've heard the comments. You've heard what people said about you. You've been written off by many people, maybe even in your own family, in your own community. Oh, no. Oh, she messed up when she was a kid. Oh, no, she came from this family, the Perez family. That's my family, right? You came from that family, and then they write you off. Oh, no, she doesn't have any education. He doesn't have this. He went through this. And some of us have been written off because people only know parts of the story. They didn't know that there was more. According to Jesus, he gives the revelation. No, this is not that. The disciples only give Jesus two options. Who sinned? Him or his parents? Jesus says neither. This was so that the glory of God would be portrayed through his life. Because the disciples only saw a glimpse. Jesus knows
your whole story. He knows what you're about. He knows your pain. He knows your mess. Now, mind you, there's a mess. He can't see. His life is dark. But then Jesus spits in the ground. He grabs the mud, and he plucks it and puts it on his man's face. He puts it on his eyes. His darkness just got even more dark. And this is what divides many people here today. Some of you, you came to Christ. You think that God was going to change your life right away. You expected things to turn. But guess what? You were messed up. You gave your life to Jesus. And now what? Things have probably gotten a little bit more darker. And now you want to get upset. You're like, man, I can't believe this. What is God doing? Why is he doing this? I don't understand, because my mess just got messier. Not understanding that your mess in the hands of the Creator. Woo! He's preparing something greater. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Clap it, clap it. You can clap it on to him. Come on, somebody. There's something going on. And I could just imagine here is this blind man. And this is just, you just made my life darker, Jesus. And the man is like this, and I could just imagine. And then what does Jesus tell this man? Jesus puts the mud on his face. And what does Jesus say to him? Okay, Papa, go. Go to Siloam. Do you know what Siloam means? Obedience. The word Siloam in Hebrew means obedience. Let me tell you something. Understanding can wait, but obedience can't. And God calls you and I to be obedient, even when things get messier. Even when things begin to stink up even more. And here is this man. I could just imagine. Can I tell you something? Jesus didn't even offer to help this man to the waters. What does that teach you? Because there are some things. Because this is what faith is. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word. And then, although you can't see, but because you trust in the one that put the mud in your eyes. I know what it is to be here. I know what it is to have the mud in my eyes. I know what it is for everybody to look at me, because, come on, somebody. This could be a disgrace for somebody to spit in mud and put spit and saliva in your eyes, especially post-COVID-19. It makes you feel degraded. It makes you feel less of a man, less of a woman. There are these posts that, come on, you know what I'm talking about. When you are at your darkest moment, everybody wants to write you off and post all that junk up in there. There you are. What they don't understand, that you're not where you were, but you're on the way you're supposed to be. They judge you. Always in the middle. The difference is this. Are you going to stay there, or are you going to walk forward? Walk forward and believe the word. The word. Jesus didn't even give him a promise. Did Jesus tell him he was healed? No. He told him, go wash yourself. Because the promise was in the faith of his obedience. And when he went and he washed himself, he was able to see. The healing didn't happen when he washed himself. The healing happened the moment Jesus put the mud on his face. He had to wash himself so that he could see what God had already done. So that he could see that your mess has a purpose. Why do I say that? Because what happens
after. After this part of the story, you would think that his story's done. The Bible says that he goes home. Se va para la casa. And when he goes home, what happens in the story? I'll tell you what happens in the story. In verse 8, it says, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. Because when God changes your story, you start to look different. You continue to read on to the story. They start asking him questions. They start asking him questions about who Jesus was. And he continues to talk. And in verse 20, 24, look at this. This is the second time they summoned the man. Verse 24, who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind. I was blind, but now I see. The story continues to build. Verse 27, they answered, I have told you already, and you do not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Look what's going on. God changes his story, and now there's purpose. What's the purpose? The purpose is this, that his mess turned into a message, that his mess opened the door to share the story of what God is doing in his life. And people began to see it. Is there anybody asking you about your mess? Is there anybody asking you these days about what's going on in your life? Because that is what needs to happen. What's going on in you? When you go back home after a Sunday and you're able to see something different from a different perspective, is there anybody looking at you and saying, is that, it looks like him or it looks like her? Oh, no, 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 I don't think so. They look different. Jesus gave him a compelling story. The last part of this story in the verse is to get ready. Look what it says on verse 34, as this they said, then to this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? They threw him out. Why did they throw him out? Because his story became a threat. It became a threat to their own theology. It became a threat to their lies. It became a threat to their falsehood. They didn't want nobody else to hear about Jesus. Because let me tell you something, Jesus will not only make your story compelling, but he'll make you dangerous. And John chapter 12 is a beautiful story. And we see the story of John, of Jesus. And he had just finished healing Lazarus. Lazarus was dead. He was dead for 4 days. And now he's alive. In John chapter 12, in the beginning of the story, six days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given to Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Look at this. Lazarus is the center of this story. Now, can I tell you this? Many people preach this chapter, but they don't talk about this. What do they talk about? The next verse. The next verse talks about the woman who broke the perfume, and she broke it over Jesus' feet. And then after that is Judas. Judas is upset because she broke this perfume over his feet. And everybody puts their focus on there, and the story is done. It's a great story. I love the story. But we pass verse 9, 10, and 11. Remember, John 12 opens with Lazarus at the center of the table. And look what it says in verse 9, and I'm done. Here we go. This is what it says. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had risen from the dead. They didn't just come to see Jesus. They came to see Lazarus. Why? Because Lazarus has a story to tell. His mess of his death, his mess of his thinking is of being dead for 4 days. There's a message. People just didn't come for Jesus. You would think the people come for, like, no. Sometimes people will come to church just to see Jesus in you. I'm not taking glory from God. What does it say in the next verse? Verse 10. It says this. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. What? Lazarus just died. Why do you want to kill him again? Because his story is dangerous. Because every time he walks, he lets people know of the living, awesome Christ. Every time you talk, you remind others of the living Jesus. Every time you walk, you remind people of the living God who called you from your deadness. Every time you're there and you're reclining, just your life, just showing up and being there. Sometimes people want to come because son entrometido, but that's okay. Look at the next verse. This is so good. For on account of him, of the Jews, were going over to Jesus and believing in him. Did you hear that? For an account of him. Who is he referring to? Lazarus. Let me share something else. Jesus is alive. And while Jesus is alive, what hit people was every step Lazarus was making. Because they would look at him and he would reflect him. You have influence. But the problem is this. We only get stuck to the little part of the story. We don't see the bigger picture. And so because we get so caught up in the little story, we think we're invaluable. You and some of us, let me tell you, some of you are like the ciego. You were like the blind man. But others are like the mud. You think you're invaluable. No. But when you allow you as mud in the hands of Jesus, he will take your muddiness to heal somebody else. I go to the schools. I get the honor to share high schools. And when I go to the high schools, I get to share this true story. I love teachers. A teacher told me this story. Happened in Arizona. Back, I believe, it was in the 80s. Her name was Angela. Angela was 38 years old. Angela struggled with depression, anxiety, and thoughts of suicide. She didn't want to live anymore. So she went to see a counselor. She sees this counselor. He welcomes her, and he sits down and talks with her for a couple days. He went from a couple days to months, and he's trying to figure out why Angela was struggling with this big old mess in her life. And then one day it occurred, as he's speaking to Angela, she says, I remember now, it was the third grade. You see, because the year before, during the summer, Angela was good. In the third grade, Angela got into struggles in school. She began to be the bully of the classroom. She was bothering kids and fighting with the kids. Up to the point that the teacher got upset and she told Angela to get out of the seat that she was. And the teacher went and grabbed the garbage can. I got it. And told Angela, true story, guys, true story. Teacher told Angela to get in the garbage can. Angela gets in the garbage can, and all the students are laughing at Angela. The teacher says, every time you bully one of the students, this is how you make them feel, Angela. And they're all laughing at Angela, and Angela's crying. But can I tell you, Angela wasn't always like this, see, because in the second grade, after school was over that summer, her mother passed away. Not only did her mother pass away, but her father took it so bad that he began to drink so much that in that summer he got into a DUI and he killed somebody in a car accident, and now he was in jail. So much had come upon Angela that she had all this hatred within her that she began to take it out on the students around her. So here she is in the garbage can, and nobody knows her story. Nobody knows what's going on in Angela. And the teacher's looking at Angela and saying, Angela, look at how you make all the other students feel. Students, will you go out on the board and tell Angela what you think about her, how she makes you feel every time she bothers you. All the students will go up, and one of them said this. They went on the board, and they said, I hate you, Angela. As Angela. Another one said, called her stupid. Another one said, ugly. And everybody's laughing in the classroom, and the teacher was just allowing this to give Angela a lesson. And the counselor's talking to Angela. Angela, do you remember? She's like, yes, I remember, I remember. He said, was there anything else, Angela? I can't remember. He said, come on, Angela, there's more to the story. She's like, I don't remember. Come on, don't you remember? There was one more person. Why? Because there was one more student that was left. Teacher called upon him to go up there, and he looked scared. He's like, no, I don't want to write anything. And teacher goes, come on, don't worry, you're not going to get in trouble. He goes up. When he goes up, he erases every word that everybody said. The screen. And Angela's looking. She's like, what is he going to do? What is he going to write now? And he put these words, I love you, Angela. The classroom is quiet. The counselor's talking to Angela. Angela's crying. She's 38 years old. She's remembering third grade. He's like, you remember, Angela? Angela, do you remember this? Yes, I remember. Angela, you remember the boy? Yes, I remember the boy. But wait a minute. How do you know? He looks at her. He says, Angela, when you walked in day one, I recognized who you were. Angela, that boy was me. I was the one that put that up there, Angela. And when you came in through my door, I remembered who you were. And I knew exactly what was the root of your problem. I want you to understand, stop looking at the negative mess in your life and know that there's a purpose in you. God loves you. God wants to use you. He wants to use your story to be a blessing to the world. Liberty Christian Center, it is time that we awaken what God is called you and I to be in the city of Chicago. We are the storytellers. We are the closers. There to let other people know of the love of Jesus. If Jesus has done something in your life, I invite you to stand up and worship him like you never worshiped him before. If Jesus changed you, if he's walked you, if he's transfigured you, oh, he's loved you. Somebody got to give him praise up in here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! 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 Every head bowed. Every head bowed. Know your story. Know your story. There's more to you than you know. There's purpose. There's meaning in your mess. He didn't die on the cross for nothing. He died to give you a story. He died and rose to make you dangerous. He died and rose and is coming back to give you influence. If Jesus is talking to you right now, whatever level it may be, you may be the blind man. You may be the mud.
If Jesus is speaking to you right now, I invite you to come right to the front. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Let it start with me. Let it start with me. Let it start with me. Let it begin with me. Whatever it may be, I don't know. He's calling you to go. Go wash yourself. Go wash yourself. Come on. You know who you are. Just come. Here you go. Here you go. Just come. Yeah. I said, just come. I don't understand. You don't need to. Just be obedient. Come. Here you go. I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was once lost, but now I'm found. So far away, but I'm home now. I was once lost, but now I'm found. And now my life song sings. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was blind, but now I see. I don't know how, but when he touched me, I once was blind, but now I see. And now my life song sings. And now my life song sings. And now my life song sings. I once was dead, but now I live. I once was dead, but now I live. Now my life to you I give. Now my life to you I give. Now my life to you I give. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let my life song sing to you. Awakening, awakening, centro, centro, Liberty Christian Center, you are the next wave. There's been a calm, there's been a calm in the storm, but you are the next wave. You're the next wave, the new homies. You are the new wave under your pastors, Tommy and Luli. They're going to guide you. They're going to lead you. There's some here. You've been sticking here. You've been looking away. You were part of the old. You were part of the old, and you've been thinking. You've been looking, and God's like, no, no. You need to be a teacher. You need to be a coach. You need to guide this next generation. There's a new wave. 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 Stick around. Stick around. There is a new wave. There's a new wave. It's right here, Tommy. It's right here, Luli. It's right here. That's it. Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff from back. There's great stuff. There's a new thing. There's a new wave. A new wave. Sotoboshi arakande. A new wave. That's what I see here. This is what I see. It's not planned. It's not planned. Solo bocosie. It's a wave. New waves. New wave. Yeah, change. It's okay. Change is okay. But there's a new wave. There's teachers here. There's teachers here. You know some of the old, but there's new things coming. And God, he needs you. Rally around your pastors. Rally around him. There's a new wave. It's right here. He wants you to see it. He wants you to see it.
Your name is power.